First lesson is in Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the preacher, have been a king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be the master for all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and the striving of his heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a person to do than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in the soul and in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give it to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 100 responsibly on page 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God, and he who made us.
And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations.
Second lessons in Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and now have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all, and in all, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And Jesus told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? for I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Okay, here's a question for you. If you look at the calendar and it's December 25th, what day is it? December 25th. Huh? Christmas. Every year, Christmas is always on the same day. What's the day? December 25th, right? Some of our holy days move around. Christmas might be on a Sunday, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? But it's always on the same date. December 25th. Now, tonight I'm going to share a story with you. It's a children's book, and it's called The Rich Fool. You just heard a little bit about him in the gospel reading. But what I want you to think about is, what is April 1st every year? April Fool's Day, right? So what I want you to think about is this. We can celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. In fact, we can celebrate the birth of Jesus every single day. And even though April 1st every year is what, Gavin? April Fool's Day, when people do make fools out of people, right? Practical jokes and stuff. Actually, you can be a fool or do something foolish more than just one day out of the year. Did you know that? I mean, every day, right? Right? Every day can be April 1st or April Fool's Day. So here's the story of the rich fool. And at the end, I want you to tell me, what was so foolish? Why was it April Fool's Day? Okay, you ready? Put on your best ears. A long time ago, in a land far away, there lived a rich man who did nothing all day but to think and to worry, to hope and to plan some way of becoming a wealthier man. From his house to his fields, each day he would walk to look at his crops, every leaf, every stalk. Then he'd climb to the top of his great storage bin where he kept all his grain, and he'd sit there and he'd grin. He watched as his slaves labored hard in the sun to put grain in the bin, loading ton after ton. As he carefully counted the loads as they came, he would think of his riches, his wealth, and his fame. A few hungry birds in the skies overhead saw the big bin of grain, and downward they sped. Oh, how happy they were, for at last they could eat. They landed and started to dine on the wheat. But when the rich man saw them eating his grain, he screamed and he kicked and he waved his big cane. You can't have what's mine. Get away from my bin, or I'll hit you so hard your heads will all spin. Ooh. He swung with such force that he fell from his ladder right into the bin, and this made him even madder. With all of his wriggling and squirming around, some of the grain poured out to the ground. Oh, my grain, he snorted and sputtered. It can't be wasted, it can't, he muttered. And then in a frenzy, he looked all about to see just how much of his grain had spilled out. A poor man had started to pick up the wheat for his wife and six children. They had nothing to eat. Stop it, you thief, cried the rich man alarmed, and the poor man went running for fear that he'd be harmed. The rich man saw all the wheat that was spilt. A new place for grain would have to be built. I'll tear down the old one, he said gleefully, and make bigger bins. How grand they will be. His slaves worked hard. His slaves worked long To make the new bins big and strong, the master from his platform high surveyed their work with watchful eye. And when the job was finally done, the night had come, gone was the sun. He hurried home all full of pride, as full as the bins, with his grain inside. He went to his room, he looked in the mirror, he talked to himself, he said, I see a good here. I really am a remarkable guy. My riches will last till the day that I die. I'll wear fine clothes that are made of gold thread, with gems on my belt, on my hands, on my head. I'll eat and I'll drink, I'll dance and be gay, and plan bigger things the rest of the day. With a yawn and a stretch, he turned to his bed. Ah, I'll think of my future tomorrow, he said. Then looking once more at each wonderful bin, he drew up the covers and he tucked himself in. The lamps on the bins shone down through the night to warn the rich man if thieves came in sight. His treasure of grain was part of his plan to be each day a much, much richer man. Someday, he said, I'll start anew and live as God would like me to. But first things first, myself I'll please and live my life in wealth and ease. But that very night, he died in his sleep with no one to mourn him and no one to weep. This man had been selfish with all of his wheat. He had offered no grain for the hungry to eat. How silly the rich, greedy man was, you say? Yes, he was silly, and right to this day, because he was selfish and heartless and cruel, he's not called the rich man, you know. He's called the rich fool. What was so foolish about this man? He got a big crop, and all he could think about was what? Getting more for himself. And meanwhile, he didn't let the birds have any, and he didn't let the poor have any. All he could think about was himself. April Fool's, huh? April Fool's Day. It can happen to all of us, because someday we're going to get old, and someday we're all going to die. And God wants us to be wise. God doesn't want us to be foolish. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I want to be wise. I want to be a fool for you. Help me to live my life completely for you. Amen. Thank him. Called God of grace, God of glory, on your people, pour your power. And one of the verses contains these words. Cure your warring children's madness. Bend their pride to your control. Shame our want and selfish gladness. Rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. What's the point? Seriously, think about our scripture lessons for tonight and tell me, what's the point? I was in high school. The story still haunts me. A man who had worked hard his whole life, he and his wife, friends of my mom and dad, he was looking forward to retirement. He made it to retirement. And now he and his wife, they had all kinds of plans. They were going to travel. They were going to have fun. In those days, I kid you not, they still gave out to those who retired a gold watch. They had a retirement party for him. And less than 30 days later, this man died of a massive heart attack. You tell me. What's the point? Rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Solomon was a wise man. When he became king, and he was the son of David and Bathsheba, God gave him a blank check. What do you want? And Solomon was young, and so he said, I want the most important thing of all. I want wisdom. I want to be a wise king so that I can love you, Lord, and serve your people. Now, we know from the Old Testament that King Solomon didn't always practice wisdom. He sometimes walked the path of foolishness. We know that according to the Old Testament, that King Solomon, when he was young, he wrote Song of Songs about how wonderful it would be to find that woman, that bride, where a husband and wife could get married for life. As God designed it in creation, he wrote Song of Songs and he celebrated it. And then, somewhere in mid-age, he wrote Proverbs about how he noticed that people were sometimes making wise decisions and sometimes foolish decisions. And then at the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes, which is our first reading for today. We just got a little snippet that Larry read for you, but enough to know what's the point. Vanity of vanities. You see, Solomon is surveying his life. He's looking back. He's doing an inventory. He's taking an assessment, and he says, well, in a word, it's all crap. What's the point? All these days of toil under the sun. You're born, you live, you die. What's the point? You see, Solomon pursued everything that money could buy. He was born with a gold spoon in his mouth. He was born with power. And you know what he did? God chose him to build the house of the Lord, the temple in Jerusalem. But what can happen is when you're wise, you can become too smart for your own good. Smarty pants, you know? And so all these nations would come to admire his wisdom. And he was building all kinds of stuff. It was a time of prosperity. It was a time of high taxation and slave labor. And you know that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, a far cry from the first thing that he wrote, Song of Songs, a far cry from the Proverbs and those words of wisdom as far as how one can, in fact, live a good life for the glory of God. Solomon is at the end of his life when he pens Ecclesiastes and he says, it's all empty. It's all an endless pursuit of an evasive wind. Life under the sun. What's the point? And then Solomon, he gets to the point at the very end of Ecclesiastes when he says, this is the point. This is the conclusion that God has finally given me. Obey the commandments of the Lord. Fear God. Oh, not trepidation. Fear is reverence and worship and awe. It's worship. So worship the Lord your God. Love him with your entire being and serve your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the conclusion he comes to. If you want to know what the point is, everybody's going to pursue something in life. And what are they going to end up with? Or maybe a big pension. I mean, I got a thing on Facebook the other day, a little boy that I saw born, next door neighbor. His name is Scott Verkylen. We're going to pray for him tonight. He has Hodgkin's lymphoma, 17 years old. Well, if you're going to get cancer as a kid, I suppose that's a preferable one. But you know the point. The point is we kind of think that we've got every day ahead of us. And we don't. This is what Solomon finally figured out. And guess what? It took him until he was probably 70 plus years old to figure it out. Because he walked away from the Lord, he walked away from wisdom, and he pursued 365 days of April 1st. You know who was the original fool? The first April Fool's joke? The book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan, the devil, played an April Fool's joke on Adam and Eve, and they got booted out of the garden. And then Jesus had to go to the cross for their sins and for our sins. And it was no joke. Talk about foolishness. Talk about walking away from the Lord and the path of wisdom. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Because every single one of us here tonight, we know somebody, a neighbor, a friend, that is not fearing the Lord and obeying his commandments. We all know him. We can look in the mirror and maybe see ourselves. That's the conclusion that Solomon came to. Fear the Lord. Obey his commandments. St. Paul, when he writes to the Colossians, says, it's all about living your baptism, you know. It's all about realizing that you've died and your life is hid with God in Christ. So put to death what is earthly, and now that you've been raised to new life, put on the garments, the clothing of God's holiness and righteousness bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. What's the point? In 2009, there was a movie called Up in the Air. I don't know if you saw it. George Clooney, he played the part of Ryan. Ryan, by profession, was a Terminator. Whenever corporations were downsizing, they would call in this amazing consultant, and Ryan would come in, and he would announce to everybody, "You're fired." You're fired. But he did it with heart. He did it with compassion and kindness. But nobody wants to be the bad guy, so they would bring in Ryan, the Terminator. Well, there's a scene in that movie when one of Ryan's relatives is getting married. And suddenly, he gets like serious cold feet. And so the relatives say, "Ryan, this is what you do. You know how to talk to people. You got to go in and talk to him." He goes in, and Ryan says to him, "What's going on? I mean, why are you doing this?" He said, "I don't think I can go through with this wedding." And Ryan said, "Today of all days? Really? What's going on?" And so the gentleman, the groom-to-be, right, he says, "I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I dreamt about our wedding day and the church service and the honeymoon and building a house and living together as husband and wife and then having a kid and then having another kid and Thanksgiving and Christmas and spring break and graduation and then the kids getting married and then having grandkids. And then getting old and retiring and losing my hair and getting fat. And then the end of it all, I'm dead." And I thought, what's the point? I mean, Ryan, what's the point? You see, Ryan in this movie, he has a dream, a pursuit, a goal. He wants to be the seventh person to accumulate 10 million frequent flyer miles. Ryan spends 270 days of every year, one year over 300 days, in the airport, or in a hotel, or in the air. You see, this movie from 2009 begs the question from our scripture lessons for tonight. Wise or foolish? Vanity of vanities? Or fear the Lord and obey His commandments? Why does Solomon say that? Because in the end, there's a judgment day. Solomon realizes that everything is laid bare before the Lord. Everything we've spoken, everything we've done. And if we've missed the kingdom's goal, tell me, what's the point? I mean, just to take up space and ensure joy 20 years or 50 years or 90 years here on earth? Really? That's the point? Try to squeeze out whatever we can in this life? You see, the great equalizer is what? Death. You can't escape it. I can't escape it. And it may come to us sooner rather than later. And so death wants to mock us. The day you eat of this fruit that the Lord God commanded you not to eat, you will die. Death. So what's the point? Leo Tolstoy told a story about a peasant farmer who was actually doing quite well, but he had this insatiable desire to always have more. And one day, someone offered him quite a deal. For 1,000 rubles, he could get all the land that he walked around from sunrise to sunset. But that was the deal. You start here at the crack of dawn, sunrise, you have to be back here when the sun sets, and whatever land you've walked around, it's all yours for 1,000 rubles. And this peasant farmer thought, yes. So at the crack of dawn, he began walking around, and then it was high noon. He was making quite an arc. And then it got to be about 4 or 5 o'clock, and suddenly he's going, oh my goodness, I'm a long ways away from home. I got to get back before sunset. So he started to walk really fast. He started to run. He was getting out of breath. And now the sun is starting to set. He still has a ways to go. He's running as fast as he can. And with breath, gasping breath, he gets there just as the sun sets. He literally stumbles across, if you will, the finish line. And then blood is coming out of his mouth. And in just a couple of minutes, he's dead. And the servants came, and they buried this peasant farmer in a plot of land that was 6 feet by 3 feet. Leo Tolstoy titled this story, How Much Land Does a Man Need? Well, if you're planning on burial, 3 feet by 6 feet. If you're planning on cremation, even less. In our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus is teaching. You know the teaching. He came and Martha rolled out the red carpet, had an elaborate meal planned for him. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha blows a gasket. She says, Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do all the serving. Tell her to help me. Now, you got to catch this because the relationship between what happens there in that story and what happens now in our gospel for tonight is inescapable. Tell her to help me. And Jesus says, she's got the good portion. And when you get the good portion, when you know what the point is, it's not going to be taken away from you. Well, in our gospel for tonight, what's the point? Jesus is teaching, and somebody from the crowd comes up, and I hope you caught it. I mean, it's a little embarrassing if it were me, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, and they come up to Jesus and they say, Rabbi, teacher, you tell my brother to give me my money. Huh? You catch it, right? I mean, this is not somebody who just said, you know, Jesus, we don't know each other, but we've got a little bit of a family dispute here, and it's all about inheritance. Do you think you could maybe help us out here? I know. Jesus, you tell my brother to give me my money now. And Jesus calmly says, you better watch out. I mean, this story in our gospel reading, if only they had read Ecclesiastes, if only they had gone to the movie in 2009, Up in the Air, if only they had talked to the Terminator, Ryan, if only they had visited with Solomon, right? Jesus says, beware of all covetousness. You know what greed will do, right? Greed will kill you. Because the more you have, the more you want, and it's never going to be enough. And so Jesus tells the parable, not of the rich man, but of the rich fool. And I hope you caught it tonight, because in the gospel reading, the pronouns are all my and I. It's all about me. And the irony is, it says that the land of a rich man produced abundantly. Did you catch that? It wasn't what the rich man did. He didn't earn or deserve anything. It was all gift, even every breath he took. It was the land. And the land belongs to the Lord, just like we do. The land produced abundantly. But he didn't have big enough barns. So he had to make a really hard choice. And it was April Fool's Day. Because his solution was eat, drink, and be merry. That's from Ecclesiastes, you know. Just say to yourselves, rest, relax. You got it made. You're the master of your own destiny. You really made a life for yourself. Aren't you proud of yourself? Me, yeah, I am. You see, he could have talked to Solomon or read Ecclesiastes or Saul Up in the Air. He could have had a conversation with God. But who did he talk to? Himself. I said to myself, self, you got it made. You've really done quite a job for yourself here. And that night the Lord spoke to him. You see, even if we don't want to consult God, I can guarantee you of the truth. God will consult us. He'll talk to us even if we think that we can turn a deaf ear to him. And he says, fool, this night your life is required of you. And all this stuff that you've accumulated, whose is it going to be? What's the point? Huh? What's the point? Bob Roberts was a missionary years ago in the Philippines. And the Lord gave him a deep passion, pain, if you will, all these hungry children in the Philippines. And so when he's back stateside, he would go in churches and he would speak about what was happening to all these little children there. And he said, do you realize for 25 cents a day, for 25 cents you can take care of one of these children for the day? They won't die. 25 cents. There was a little 7-year-old, red hair, freckles, kind of made me think right away of my grandson. He just turned 6, you know. So think of him and 1 year older. And he's listening. He comes up afterwards to Bob Roberts and he says, Jesus spoke to me. I want to help those children so that they have something to eat. Well, that's very kind, Bob said. And the boy said, well, and Jesus told me what I can do. And then he pulls out of his pocket his shell collection, all 6 of them. He said, I want to give you my shell collection, all 6 of them, so that you can feed those kids over in the Philippines. About a month later, Bob Roberts was speaking in another congregation and talking about those hungry Philippine children. And he pulled out of his pocket 6 shells. And he said, I want to tell you a story about a little boy, a little redhead with freckles. He gave me his shell collection. After Bob Roberts was done, a gentleman came up and he said, I've got $100 right here. Will you sell me those 6 shells, please? And Bob Roberts said, that little 7-year-old freckled face, redhead boy, took care of 400 children that would have gone to bed hungry or starved to death. Cure your children's warring madness. Bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton, selfish gladness. Rich in things, poor in soul. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.